It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back. It is always a good day when I wake up, I give thanks, and today I had the coolest feeling when I was rounding the bend to get another cup of coffee. I just thought, I love my life. I love that I am able to step out in our little small studio in the garage and speak with interesting people. My name is Jane Asher. The show is called The Next Room. The Next Room is kind of about one of the great mysteries of life. So it's not so much about death, but it's more about life. But death is such a huge part of life, and one that I feel we should not fear. I think it should be dinner conversation. We cover death, dying, grief, memorials, funerals, green burial practices, cultural traditions, right to die movements, wills and trusts, hospice care, and of course, one of my all-time favorites, the afterlife. So you are in for a great show today because we're going to talk a lot about one of my favorite things, which is what comes next. My guest today is Lynette Setzkorn. It's an unexpectedmystic.com. Let me get that right. An unexpectedmystic.com. If you want to know more about her, you can find Lynette there. She is such an interesting woman, and I'm super excited because she's going to tell us all kinds of fun stories. But we met through Camille Dan. Camille Dan, I know I've talked a lot about it. She's putting together a book project, and it's called, we finally have a name for the book. It's called Gathering at the Doorway. It's an anthology of signs, visits, and messages from the afterlife. 40 writers generously donated a chapter to this book. The cool thing about this, and Camille's such a doll, she is donating all the proceeds to wonderful organizations like Helping Parents Heal, which is, I've had many people on from that organization, and just a really great nonprofit. So that book will be out this summer. So I met Lynette through Camille because Lynette's going to give her a chapter. And Lynette is also connected with Suzanne Giesman, who we love, who I had on the show. And Lynette connected me with Jim McCarty, who was just on the show a couple of weeks ago. So that's the connection. And I love how this works. So welcome to the show, Lynette.
Thank you. It's really, really nice to be with you.
I'm so happy to have you here. Now, talk to me about how you became an unexpected mystic. How do you, you're going through life, la, 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 normal everyday woman, and then boom, what happens?
Well, what happened was a lot of awful stuff. And isn't that kind of interesting? Because out of the worst tragedies of life, here comes this magic. And I don't mean magic like pulling a rabbit out of a hat, although sometimes it feels that way, but just transformation in ways that I never could have imagined when I was sitting in a church pew at 5 thinking, what are these people getting that I'm not getting? Because from my earliest memory, I knew I didn't fit. I wasn't good enough. I didn't measure up. And I was pretty sure I was going to go to hell. And that was my belief in my life until probably about the age of 30. And then I just figured life ended. Well, little did I know what was to come next. Oh, my stars. It's just been an absolutely amazing, amazing ride. And what I love about like the last 10 or 12 years or so is that everything that I had come to know and to believe, there's now the evidence to back it up. And oh, I mean, to live in this life without fear, to live in joy, to live with peace, to live knowing that, you know, my people may be gone, they may be in the next room, but they're waiting. And I can connect with them. I can hear them sometimes. I mean, it just makes life, well, just a delight, you know. And for a long time, I just didn't even want to be here. It was just awful.
What I know, it's, I love the way that you put that, that you went through some awful stuff to come through to this greater understanding that, you know, love never dies, which just transfers in this energy form. When you realized this, when you went from just it's going to end to, oh my gosh, look what's happening. Let's talk about that moment and that time that you started to awaken?
What I think first I have to tell you about falling off the cliff. And when I was, my mother was my first experience of unconditional love. When I was 12, she just vanished into thin air. She would be well over 100 now. So obviously she's not alive. And we've actually connected with her through a medium, but she is the oldest missing persons case in Oklahoma. So I went from having a mother who absolutely cherished me and adored me and made me feel completely loved to her just being boom, gone, just gone. I mean, disappeared and no information ever found. And so that threw me out of the religious thing. What kind of God would take, you know, that away from me? And my whole family kind of went off the rails. So fast forward to like 1990, I had gotten into a 12-step program and that had a spiritual foundation, which was really helpful because it let me define my own conception of a power greater than myself. And what I did is I went into the garden and started planting things. And I thought, wow, you know, here's this hard little seed that I put in the ground and I've added water and the sun has come and a miracle has happened because I can't do that. So the thing that I can't do, bring life to something like that, that was what I believed in. Is this, and see, now I've experienced it. So I was definitely on the right track in 1988, when that experience happened. But in 1990, I met my husband and he was my second experience of unconditional love. We were soulmates and we knew it. And I wasn't even the kind of person then who talked about soulmates, but we had such a connection just from our first contact. It was magical. It was intense. It was a storybook. You know, and then it wasn't. So when he died in 2012, I didn't really want to live either. You know, I thought that it felt like everyone that I loved left, you know, vanished, disappeared, that I lost them somehow. And I just couldn't see trying again. And wow, it was rough, you know, and his death was complicated by the fact that he shouldn't have died. There were some medical mistakes that were made. And so I had a lot of anger. I actually had a case of PTSD about that resulted from some things that had happened in the hospital. So one of my first significant spiritually transformative experiences occurred about 6 months after he died, when I was dealing with these PTSD effects. And I'm like, you're looking at me, these people that are going to listen, they can't see it, but I'm just like a regular, you know, middle-aged woman. And I had like homicidal impulses toward the doctor that I blamed for his death.
Wow.
You know, I woke up thinking what I could do to that doctor because I had such rage and anger. I felt so, so wrong because I didn't think that Mike should be dead. So I was driving across town. I had the top down on my little car. I was listening to the radio and crying, which was my usual mode then. And I had something about this man's voice on the radio caught my attention. It was, a man named Hector Black, and he was talking on the Moth Radio Hour, and he was speaking about his daughter who lived in Atlanta, which is where I live now, who had been murdered, and how Hector had come to love her murderer.
Wow.
I know. And I've got a massive goosebumps. Hector just died recently, and we had communicated because I told him how he had literally changed my life with that story. But what happened, I had to pull over. I was crying so hard. Just listening to him, you know, his voice was breaking. I'm just sobbing. And it felt like the top of my head opened up and all of this stuff just lifted out of me. And in my, you know, my mind's eye, the feeling of it was just like this thick gray cloud of just ugliness and awfulness. And it just lifted out. And then there was peace. Mm. And it was unbelievable. Suzanne asked me once what I attributed that to. And I mean, it's just grace. I don't know. It's like my guides were saying, my God, we can't stand this anymore. We have to do something.
You are too angry. And that is enough, yeah. Jeanette.
We can't deal with this anger. But from that day forward, I was free of that whole experience that had plagued me. Real, it was about a year and a half. It was 6 months after he died, but the thing that had stimulated it had happened a year before he died. And oh my gosh, what a gift that was.
Yeah. It's like my mother has told me or shown me that forgiveness is forgiving to ourselves.
Yes.
you know, and it's really, it starts right there. Wow. What a breakthrough. What a moment.
It was huge.
And I am so unbelievably sorry to, I did not know about your mother disappearing when you're 12. I can't even fathom, you know, I was so fortunate to have mine for 49 years. And I felt like she disappeared and oh my gosh, and went into a deep, dark place. But then to have your soulmate, Mike, you know, not leave. I just think they transform, you know, he went to his next great reward. So now you've been opened up. Now you have this unbelievable peace and grace that is going through you and coursing through your veins. Is that when you started kind of playing around with, you know, becoming a mystic?
Well, so there were experiences that happened and I recognize them now, you know, as mystical experiences and, you know, just gifts of the universe. 3 days after Mike died, this antique clock that we had repaired 6 or 7 times suddenly started ticking and chiming. I woke up in the middle of the night, I heard this sound and it's like, what is that? You know, and I walked through the house and it was an old 1830s French clock, onyx and brass, and it had never worked. Mike loved it. I would have gotten rid of it because it didn't work and I don't like clocks that don't work. 3 days, tick, chime. Wow. It was unbelievable. And I knew that was him. I knew that was a gift from him. I had a copper coin fall out of thin air on my toe in a Riyadh in Morocco. I mean, there were gifts of signs. I call them signs and wonders because I like to think of living in a wonderful world now, because for so long, I didn't want to live in this world at all. You know, I had such a fear of dying for so long. I was in such grief for so long. I didn't want to be here. And it's like they throw breadcrumbs, you know, and I think they throw a lot more than we ever pick up.
Right.
But I've made it my mission to be sensitive to everything that comes. And the way I see it now, I mean, there's one energy, one power of love in the universe. And so in my view, it's all a miracle. Rather than trying to decide, you know, is that a miracle? Is that not a miracle? It's a miracle.
I know.
I claim it all.
I think that's great. Wasn't that an Einstein quote that was?
Yes.
You can either treat nothing as a miracle or everything.
Everything.
I'm paraphrasing, which, you know, it truly is. I mean, you can get caught up in the wonder just of, you know, your hands. Bless you. My dog just sneezed. How cute. Sorry, I had to. She's so funny. Wow. What a just a fascinating journey that you've been on. From a very young little girl, you were not even a teenager yet when this all started opening up. So now you get these signs all the time and you started writing about it. You started expressing yourself because you've got a really cool blog, and that's at anunexpectedmystic.com. If you are interested about Lynette, do you do readings for people, or do you connect people with their, you know, family members and friends on the other side?
Well, I am a connector of a different sort. I have actually done readings and I find it absolutely stunning that, you know, the classes that I've taken have been with Suzanne, and she's very specific. You know, she is very disciplined, very, you know, do this, 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 and this, and you will get this result. And oh my star, she was right. So the first time I did a reading, and I disregarded her instructions. We were supposed to keep our eyes open. We were supposed to ask for feedback. And I just told the guy that sat across from me, who I didn't want to read for because he was young and kind of cocky, I said, I'm closing my eyes. I don't want any feedback. Don't say a word. 5 minutes. And I'm getting this. There's a man here and he's got, you know, silvering hair at the temples. He smoked a pipe after work. He would sit in a chair, you know, just on and on and on and on. And then the bell went off and I opened my eyes and that guy's sitting there with his mouth open. And I said, what? And he said, that was my dad. And I said, oh my God, no.
Wow.
I mean, I was as shocked as he was. He said it was the most accurate reading he'd ever had. 5 minutes of his father coming through about the dog and how he played football, his major in college. I just find that stunning. It's not my calling. My calling is to cheerlead people. I have a business card and I'm like a, you know, one of the things on the front is cheerleader, because I am your spiritual support team. I will, goodness, connect you with people, connect you with help. I love to help people who are grieving. You know, I do a lot of emails. That's how I met Jim, who was on your show recently. We just started corresponding after his wife passed. And it just means a lot to me to share stories that bring hope, you know, that just bring in and maybe encouragement. And the other part of it is that I'm just a regular person. And so I find that I hope that is inspirational. You know, you don't have to be some big circuit speaker or, you know, have published 27 books in order to have credibility. You just, here it is. This is what can happen to any of us, all of us. And why? Because there is only the one of us. And that is ultimate safety to me. We can never be lost. We can never be cast out. There's no place to go but here. We're just having experiences. And the change of, in my viewpoint about how life unfolds and our purpose for being here as a result of, you know, the things that I've directly experienced and the teachings and the classes and Suzanne's influence, I'm just, gratitude is just like the way I live now. I don't even know how to express it fully.
Well, I can see it because it's actually vibrating off of your beautiful being right now. You know, I want to say to you, Lynette, you are the first spiritual cheerleader that I've had on the show. I'm so blessed to have you here. I'm just loving everything. Lynette Setzkorn is my guest today. Oh my goodness. I've got gooseies up and down right now. Talk to me about right when we first met, and we're looking at each other on Zoom, so you can't see this beautiful woman with this gorgeous silver hair, and she has red glasses, and her lips are matching the glasses. She's got gorgeous skin and beautiful teeth, and as you can hear, the best laugh. Talk to me about your dog and what happened, because you know that my puppy is down here. She's making a little bit of noise during this interview. Talk to me about your dog.
Well, first of all, I was not a dog person. Dogs always bit me. I didn't like them. My husband was in the ICU for a month and on a vent. And the first thing he said after he got the thing out of his throat, he said, "Hi, babe, I love you. I think we're supposed to get a dog." I had a vision of myself riding around with a dog on my lap. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, but if you'll live, we'll get you a dog. So a month in the hospital, and the next day after he's out, we're running out into this awful place in Tulsa, and we've got this little puppy. And I mean, I would not get anything but a rescue now, but we got this puppy because we just didn't know any better. So we bring home this little tiny Jack Russell who slept on my chest for the 30 minutes it took us to get home. And by the time we got there, I was so head over heels. I didn't even know what hit me. It was like I'd been hit by a Mack truck. My love for that dog was just whoosh. It was unbelievable. So we're thinking 2 years later that maybe Billy needs a friend. We go to this rescue in Oklahoma City. There's this little weird looking dog. She's like put together by spare parts. Her teeth are too big. Her ears are odd. Scruffy coat. I mean, she's not like a classically attractive dog, but she seemed very sweet. So we brought her home. And 2 weeks after we got her, I'm talking to her because she wants to be with me. She's under my arm all the time. And I said, "You're such a sweet girl, Betty. You're such a sweet girl." And nothing happened. Her name was Betty. Well, just wait. Her name changed. Nothing happened. Not the flick of an ear. Nothing. And so I said, "Betty, Betty, nothing." And then I yelled, "Betty." And she was stone deaf. And I yelled at my husband. I said, "Mike, Betty's deaf." So she became deaf Betty. And I don't know what it was about that.
Oh my God.
But my heart just opened up, and that dog lived in it for the next 15 years. She was the second love of my life. And when I let her go last July, she was physically healthy. But in addition to her deafness, she had reached a point with deterioration of her eyesight that she was in just a constant state of panic. And I couldn't do that. So I put the most beautiful song I've ever heard, which is called "In Dreams" by Jagdish, on replay on my phone. And she laid on my lap and ate a piece of turkey, and she crossed over. Mm. The very next day, I was with a friend on the phone telling her, you know, we were talking about, because everyone knew that she was just my She was my heart, especially since Mike died. His little dog had crossed over, you know, 2 years after he left. So it was just Betty and I for the last however many years. And Raven is a healer and a shaman. She's walking me through, you know, feeling the grief. And all of a sudden I can feel Betty on my lap. I can feel the weight and the pressure of her. I had a sense of her scruffy fur. So a couple more days later, I decided to go on retreat for a couple of days. And I woke up the second morning that I was there and I'm having coffee and it's 5 and I'm thinking about my daily routine with Boo. That was her nickname. And how I would miss that because my whole day was built around her. You know, she was a little old dog. She needed care. And all of a sudden, oh my, every time I talk about it, it just gives me goosebumps. She was there. I live in Georgia. Pine trees are huge. And she was in the tops of the pine trees. And with this effervescence that was so joyful and so alive and so spectacular that I laughed out loud all by myself because she was there in this rush of love between the two of us. It was like a highway. I mean, it was just stunning. And she told me her soul name and she said, I did my job, Mom. And that came with the knowing that she had stayed with me through rough times, the loss of my husband, my father, my two of my best friends within 2 weeks of each other. She had been with me the whole time. And now I practice regularly keeping her present. She goes with me everywhere now, and I can call her into my consciousness. It's the most interesting thing. I bring her up. I'm not a visual person, but so I usually start by looking at a picture of her and then I'll close my eyes and say, you know, come now. And pretty soon there's this swirl of black and white and brown, which is how she announces herself, her white fur, her great big black nose and her beautiful chocolate brown eyes. And then she's there. And then we go about our day and I love it. You know, I will have her with me forever. I truly believe she was a little angel in a doggy suit. And that we're given these little creatures as our life companions to ease the way. Because until we come to know the truth, if we do, and it doesn't really matter whether we do or not, it just makes things better. Until we come to know the truth, we need some kind of comfort in this life because it can be rough, you know?
Boy, isn't that the truth? Lynette, I'm telling you, I think everyone needs a spiritual cheerleader in their life. And all I keep thinking is, I have a new friend. I am so excited. This is just so wonderful. Lynette Setzkorn, my guest today, her website is anunexpectedmystic.com. You can reach out to her. She works with Suzanne Giesman, who is just, oh my goodness, what a powerhouse of a human being and just a lovely, lovely lady and really here to help us. And we're all gathering. I love this. You know, when Camille started this book project, it was just going to be this little thing that she did. And all of a sudden it just kaboom, you know, and she reached out to me through Instagram. Like, I love your book. I love your podcast. Yeah. Do you want to be part of this? And I'm like, absolutely. Anytime we can use our gifts to uplift and help another human being or just whatever it is, you know, it's a good thing. So I love that we're connected through this project. My goodness, what a just a fascinating story. We've got a few minutes left. Is there something I haven't asked you or something you want to share that we haven't covered? Because the floor is yours. I have a feeling you've got a lot of good stories in you.
I read a book by a man named Father Greg Boyle. It's called Tattoos on the Heart. Tattoos on the Heart. It's a part of a trio, but this was the very first book and I had not read him before. He's a Jesuit priest. So, you know, that normally I wouldn't go with that, but he works with gang members in LA.
Okay.
That book affected me so deeply. This is like 2014 that I was having like many awakenings as I was reading it because it's pure love. And I know that the nature of the universe is pure love. So I was in a pizza restaurant. I was almost through with the book and I went to pick up a lunch for my nephew on his birthday. We were having pizza in the park and I was standing there waiting and it's crowded because it's after Sunday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, it's church day. And I saw the fabric of the universe. It's like everyone like lost their skin and everything that underlies what we see, what we think is real came to the fore. And I mean, I could still see like outlines of people. I could still see the moving sound change, you know, the way it does when you have an STE. I think that was the beginning of the thing that let me know that everything is okay. Always. There is this thing that we're a part of, this immensity, this love, this energy that never changes, that never abandons us, that's never going to punish us, that only wants to love us. And if I could leave people with anything at all, it would just be that. Know that you are safe. You are loved. It's all okay. It's all always okay, no matter what. This is not the only world. And that to me is like, that's our respite. That's our safety. Mm. That's the place we can go when this is too much. So.
Amen, sister. That is beautiful. And what a great way to bring the Next Room show today with you to a close. Lynette Setzkorn, the spiritual cheerleader all of us need. I love this. And unexpectedmystic.com is her website. Wow, what a delight. And I'm so happy to be connected with you. And I look forward to having you back on the show anytime. I think you should just come on and we can talk. It'll be fun.
Thank you so much, Jane.
You're very welcome. The Next Room, thank you so much for tuning in today. Join me on Facebook. I have a really cool community there, really lovely, amazing people, a very active page, which I love. It's genuine and it's real and unedited, and I don't have to pay for ads or any of that good stuff. It's just us connecting. I'm also on Instagram. You can follow me, or if you do Twitter, that's great too. You can find me there. Thank you so much for tuning in each week. And if you're listening and you know of someone that you think, oh, gee, Jane would really like to meet this person, just introduce me through email. It's that easy. It's thenextroomwithjane@gmail.com. And I will speak with anyone. It doesn't have to be, as Lynette pointed out, you don't have to have, you know, a volume of books that you produced, or you don't have to be some big hotshot. You can just be the person next door that has a story. And I find that very fascinating. So please reach out and welcome to The Next Room. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll catch you again next week.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.